Rock-a-bye baby on the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. And when the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. And down will come baby, cradle, and all. Having babies has always been a risky business. And often the places where people lay babies after birth have been a bit dodgy. The crib, as we know it, for example, wasn't invented until the 1800s. And before then, infants generally slept with their mothers, which we now know can be dangerous. The baby crib was invented and raised up from the floor. Why? Because folks believed that toxic fumes existed at floor level and explosive fumes hovered near the ceiling of any room. Thus, the crib was raised to put the baby in the good air in between. But one of the most bizarre baby conveyances emerged in the early 1900s. Experts thought that fresh air, particularly cold air, was vital to a child's health and development. So if you lived in the city, however, getting out regularly was a problem. So mothers improvised. In 1922, a woman named Emma Reed applied for a patent on a baby cage. A cage that attached to an open window like an air conditioner. Check it out online. And then the baby could catch some fresh air while suspended several stories above the street. Even when modern safety improvements were made, including not hanging children out of the window, raising kids is still a risky business. But it was even riskier in the first century. Mary put Jesus in a manger because she really had no other choice. The Super 8 motel was full, and the barn to the rear of the inn was the only place left for privacy. Mary herself would have been at high risk in giving birth. But if the manger itself was a dangerous situation, the leaky, burpy, vulnerable little baby wrapped in clothes lying within it was even more dangerous. It's hard to think of a baby as dangerous. A toddler, maybe, but not a newborn. And yet, just 8 days after his birth, the old man Simeon would declare at his dedication in the temple, "This child would be destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that would be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed." And then he says to Mary, his mother, a sword will pierce your own soul too. In this dangerous child, we learn that God is not unknowable, distant, and unconcerned with human affairs. The God who created the heavens and the earth is intimately involved in creation, walking among people in person. A God who becomes human must be reckoned with. And that makes this baby dangerous to the way the world normally works. This God has entered fully into the human mess, living in poverty, living as a refugee, and living with people who have major issues. Yes, folks, Jesus is dangerous because he associates with sinners and outcasts, and is a threat to the status quo. He is dangerous because he passes over our politics. No political party has a monopoly on Jesus Christ. Jesus is dangerous because our loyalty is first to him and not any government. He scares us about our sinfulness and selfishness. Forgiveness and mercy are freely given and offered to all. He petrifies us with his power. He is Lord over all our social relationships and religious rules. He cares more about the poor and less about money, sex, or power. And he was unequivocal about the cost of commitment. His most dangerous claim was that he is God. And he calls us to follow him, to be like him, and do as he does. He is a God who has not come only to live, but to die for the people he created. The people of Jesus' own day couldn't wrap their heads around this sort of God, who is also human, and who deigned to come down off Olympus and live as a mortal. And the world continues to struggle with this concept. Better to have a God we can control and keep out of the public square than one who enters our mess and gets personal. Believing in God who becomes human will cause all kinds of problems. He isn't merely a perfect icon to admire, but an example to follow in how to fully engage ourselves as his disciples. In his death and resurrection, he gives us the power to live it now and forever. We could not be redeemed on our own. God needed to enter our humanity and deliver us from slavery to sin and death. The manger-laid child, Jesus, would one day be dangled above a city street, not in a cage, but on a cross. Because of the cross, we are reconciled to God, given the light of God's Spirit dwelling in us to be lived out in our fully human lives that are meant to reflect and hold together both the human and the divine. One mother shared with me her discomfort with the phrase baby cage. Cage brought back memories when her tough love decision confined her son to spend 3 days in prison because of a drug-related arrest. Fortunately, a resurrection followed, but that sword of sorrow inflicted a wound that still aches in our heart to this day. Christmas is about the nitty-gritty challenge of living daily the mystery of God among us and dwelling within us. Christmas is about wrapping ourselves in the glory of the divine life brought to us by this Savior Son. So how will we let the divine life of this Savior Son shine through us in the new year of grace? This is the life he came to bring us. This is both the danger and the opportunity represented in the manger. So when have you met the dangerous Jesus? How did he mess with your comfortable world? So come, all ye faithful, to the manger, his Eucharistic table, and be fed with the one who nourishes us today and for centuries to come. Let us celebrate that the manger is a game changer.